the same connection with what's just been expressed, to consider, I think, especially verses 6 to 12 in the next few minutes, we could focus on that passage to make a little progress there, remembering that Amos has been sent primarily to this northern kingdom, and they were living this way. They were living with this sense of confidence, and yet all of their behavior was completely was a complete departure from what ought to characterize someone who carries the name of the Lord. I want to just read a verse to connect with this in Micah chapter 3. I'll just read it. In Micah 3, this is a passage from verses 8 to 12 about both Judah and Israel. And their attitude is described there, that they are greedy. Everybody is just looking for a payout in verse 11. But they say, verse 11 in the middle of the verse, Micah 3:11, yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us. Is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us. So they're carrying around the name of Jehovah as if they're his people, and yet their behavior is a complete departure. Nothing in their behavior really is in accordance with the fact that they're bearing his name. Their worship, even, is not to Jehovah. The calves that were set up, these are the gods. Worship these gods that they can replace Jehovah. And yet they had all these imitations as if they were still carrying his name. And when we look at verses 6, 7, and 8 in particular, to see the departure, and what he addresses first is money. And you might almost say that if they would have some complaints about God judging them, they might say, well, you separated us, you know, we had this northern kingdom. It wasn't our fault that we're separated from Judah and Jerusalem and the temple there. But God doesn't address that first when he addresses their sinfulness. He says, I will not turn away their punishment because they sell the righteous for silver. They sell the poor so they can get a nice pair of shoes. They sell the poor for a pair of sandals. They are attracted to everyone whom they can overpower. The dust of the earth that is on the head of the poor, they even want that. The poor are trampled down, and they want to even take the dust that's on their head. They pervert the way of the humble. They don't seek justice. They pervert morality. Probably in verse 7, where it says, a man and his father go into the same girl, it describes in verse 8 that they're lying down in the near an altar, and they're in the house of their God. Probably this is ritual immorality, ritual prostitution that was part of the worship of these other idols and gods around them. They had adopted these things. And the Lord even says in verse 8, it's in the house of their God. He doesn't even have a house that they could pretend is his. It's the house of their God. And yet they're carrying around the name of the Lord, the name of Jehovah. And so the warning is that they were using this almost as if it was a good luck charm, if we may say such a phrase. They carry the name of the Lord, and we might say for ourselves, this is our temptation to, or our susceptibility perhaps, to apply the name Christian to ourselves and say, yes, we're Christians. What does that mean to you? Not really very much. Just, I'm a Christian. I'm not this, I'm not that. I guess I'm a Christian. And this is what is the general trend in the human heart, is to just belong to something, have a name that we're part of a group, and then live our own way. And this is what's happening in the nation of Israel, where Amos is speaking.
I thought it was imperative to look at those verses, but even before, Steve, if you don't mind, just reflecting a little bit on Judah, and I realize we want to move on, but just reflecting a little bit on Judah, the message was not directly at this point in time to the southern kingdom. It was to the northern kingdom. But Judah is now included as violating some very important things. They despised the law of Jehovah. Have not kept his statutes. And I believe that that's the condition that precipitates what takes place in the northern kingdom. Because immorality will only come in light of the fact that we have no sense of the Word of God. We have no sense of its gravity. And I think we are living in the present time when we are not taking God's Word in the way we ought to take it. We are not taking it up. It's not having its impact, and as a result, it leads to conditions of abnormality as to what we see in the Northern Kingdom. Immorality. Surprisingly, that's, and especially sexual immorality, is a prevalent thing in the Christian company today. It's a sad commentary when you sit with persons who I see very often, Christians, who can accommodate themselves to immorality because it is okay, it's accepted in the Christian company. These are challenges, I think, that have to come home to our hearts, particularly when we think of God's divine standards and order. And I think this is the clear indication of what was taking place in the Northern Kingdom. They were selling the poor out. They were doing things that were just unacceptable. No wonder the government of God has to interpose.
Just in reference to what we've all talked about, how does God, as we've discussed, express his judgment toward believers? We see the severity that God judges his own people and as believers. How does God express it in regards to us? We've just talked about regarding immorality, but we could also add chapter 6, where it talks about complacency. And I think that's another part of how believers fall into, and you might say, a trap, where it's okay, I'm fine. So again, the question is, how does God judge us as believers?